a few pages, you will bump into Habakkuk eventually. It's not too far back to the left into the Old Testament. I had some folks come to me this last throughout this last week saying, last week was one of the best sermons that I ever heard out of the book of Habakkuk. And I would always think as they were saying that, it's probably the only sermon you've ever heard out of the book of Habakkuk. And so today, we're glad that you're here for the second best sermon you've ever heard out of the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 1 is where we come back into today. If you will remember, Habakkuk is a little bit of a different prophet because he confronts God. So often the prophets wait to receive a word from God and then they go to the people. Habakkuk sees what's going on in the world around him and he is so stirred that he goes to God and confronts God about the evil. Not the evil in the world around him, but specifically in the people of God, in the children of Israel. And the people that ought to be obeying God, that ought to be the witness, the light to the rest of the world, he can see their shortcomings and their failures. And he is so broken over their sin that he goes to God asking God, will you deal with this? How are you allowing this to go on? And as we saw at the very end of the text last week, and it's where we're headed in just a moment, what God says to him causes Habakkuk to take a step back. Because the way that God tells him he is going to deal with the sin of Israel takes his breath away. Because it's not going to just be a small correction. He ultimately is going to deal with it in a great way that we know now from a historical perspective is going to lead Israel into a great captivity. And they will be in that captivity more than 400 years later when Jesus comes. Even though the Babylonians, the Assyrians have all changed hands to the Romans, it will come to the point to where what happens here in this time affects all the way to the point of Christ. And so let's look in this text. Habakkuk approaches God, and he says in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, after he's heard God say that he is going to bring this great enemy against Israel to serve as a judgment. Habakkuk says to God in verse 12, are you not from everlasting? O Lord, my God, my Holy One, we shall not die. O Lord, you have ordained them as a judgment. And you, O rock, have established them for reproof. You see, what's happening with Habakkuk here is that just a moment ago, he was complaining to God about the sinfulness of Israel. And now he is complaining to God roundaboutly about God's response to the sinfulness of Israel. And so I would say first, as we begin to think through this text, we need to be careful when we confront God. We need to be careful when we confront God. In this text, Habakkuk is like that child who comes to the parent and says, Mama, you're my favorite. Mama, this family wouldn't be anything like it is if it wasn't for you. Mama, have I told you how wonderful you are and how grateful I am for what you're doing? Mama, what are you thinking while your beautiful little boy or girl is saying these things to you? You're thinking not, that's so wonderful. That's so touching. You're thinking, what do you want? Right? Habakkuk comes to God and says, are you not from everlasting? Are you not the Holy One? You won't wipe your people off the face of the earth. You won't bring this harsh of judgment. You are from everlasting. What would that say about you? It's interesting that just a moment ago in this text, Habakkuk was complaining to God about the sin of Israel, and now he's beginning to start complaining to God about God's response to that sin. Isn't that what we do so often? Sometimes we can pray prayers that sound like they are thanksgiving, but really they're suggestions to God about how life could be just a little bit better. You could do this just a little differently if you're really trying to make me happy. What we have to understand is that when we complain against what's happening in our lives and in the sense of what God has given to us, ultimately we are complaining against God and against His provision. Habakkuk was going to have to come to the point to where he needed to realize that Israel's sin against God was even worse than he realized. It was deeper. It was more offensive to God. And it was going to have to be purged, to be cleansed. And Habakkuk does something that so many of us would do, and I would say that this would be the second thing that I would draw this text, is we need to be careful when comparing ourselves to others. When Habakkuk hears that God is going to use the Chaldeans as the instrument to bring his judgment, to bring his punishment against the Israelites, all of a sudden he uses for ammunition against God this comparison to say, whoa, wait a minute, our sin may be bad, but have you seen their sin? I mean, do you know these people? Are you watching them? And so look what he does. This is one of the reasons I love the scriptures, is because it just allows the humanity to be right here. This is exactly what I would say. It's exactly what you would say to God. Look with me in chapter 1, verse 14. More flowery, more fluffy language here to God. You make mankind like the fish of the sea, like crawling things that have no ruler. And so, praising God, these people are your creation. You are the one who gives life. Very true, very right to say, but Habakkuk, why are you saying this? Well, look in the next verse, in verse 15 of chapter 1. He says, he brings all of them up with a hook. He drags them out, he being the Chaldeans. He being these people that you are about to use to punish your people. Do you know how bad they are? They bring people up with a hook. They bring them out with a net. He gathers them with a dragnet and rejoices and is glad. Like someone who goes out to the sea to fish. These evil Chaldeans, they are so nasty that they go and they collect people. God, I know just a moment ago I was talking to you about our sin, but have you seen their sin? There's no way you can use those people to correct your people. You see, we often find ourselves comparing ourselves to others. Lord, if I just had his intellect. Lord, if I just had her skill set. Lord, if I was just born in that family. Lord, if I had just received that promotion, if I had just received that education, if you'd not given me this husband, but you'd given me that husband, things would be different around here, you know. We're always comparing. I know my wrong is wrong, but have you seen my neighbor's wrong? Theirs is much worse. I know I tell some lies, but Lord, have you seen how he lies all the time? And on and on and on we go, comparing, comparing, comparing. Comparing even our shortcomings and our accomplishments against other people. What is the comparison? What should the comparison be? Friend, the comparison is not between you and me. The comparison is between me and Christ. That is God's standard. It is Jesus Christ who came and took on flesh, that the Son of God, fully human, living in perfect obedience. He is the standard for all of humanity, for all of creation. And so if you want to measure yourself against someone, measure yourself against Jesus, who lived in full and perfect obedience, facing temptation, facing difficulty, facing challenge, just like you do and just like I do. But he never turned away. He never rebelled against God. He lived in perfect obedience, day after day after day. And because God is good and gracious and kind, he was doing more than just showing us how it ought to be done. He was sending a substitute for us. So that the true answer is not to just pull your boots up and live a better life. The true answer is to turn to Jesus. Because he is the substitute. He is the one that has come. And the Bible says that all that sin deserve death. That is the punishment for death. But Jesus lived perfectly and did not deserve death, yet he died. What's going on with that? It's because God's plan was that he would be the substitute. That he would stand in the place of all those who would call on him. And he would take their punishment for them. He would die their death for them. The God-man, fully human, perfect in every way, lays down his life for rebellious sinners like you and me so that we can be forgiven. And because he was also fully God, he is fully powerful. And to demonstrate that great power, he takes his life back up. And 3 days later, he rises from the grave. So that not only would we have forgiveness of our sins when we come to him, but we would have life. That's how John in 1 John chapter 5 there would say, he is eternal life. It's not just that he gives eternal life, it's him. He is the power for it. And it can be yours if you will confess your sin, if you will turn to him and ask for his forgiveness. To repent is the Bible's word, and follow after him. And so Habakkuk needs to remember, we need to remember, I need to remember that I need to be careful when I'm confronting God. Because the comparison is not between you and me, it's between me and Christ. And we've all been in this place where Habakkuk's been. That on one instance, we're praying to God, asking him to change the situation, to deal with the situation, and then he works in that situation, and we're complaining to him because of what he's done to change the situation. And then we throw our arms up and we begin to compare. If you had just done it like this, or if you'd just given me what they got, I think I would be happier if you'd take me over there. And so Habakkuk is where many of us have been in life. But he eventually lands where we should land. Because if you look with me in chapter 2, verse 1, it's beginning to sink into him that God is going to deal with their sin in a very deep way. And so in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. You see, what happens with Habakkuk is he comes to the place where we should come when we're struggling. Because honestly, we all struggle with doubt. We all struggle with confusion. We all struggle with wondering what God is doing. And rather than confronting, and rather than complaining, and rather than comparing ourselves to others, we should be careful to wait on God. Habakkuk says, I'm just going to take my place and wait, Lord, to see what you would do. You see, what Habakkuk did and what we need to do is we need to humble ourselves. We need to look down. Rather than lifting our finger and pointing up, we need to look down. And once we are humbling ourselves before the Lord, we need to look in, to ask the Lord to search our hearts, to show us our sin, to show us our pride, our rebellion against Him. And then we need to look up in the sense of giving thanks, of being grateful for all that God has given to us. And we need to be prepared to move forward in faithful obedience when God is ready to move, in the way God is ready to move. You see, a long time ago, more than 20 years ago now, I thought it was time for me to be the senior pastor of a church, the preaching pastor. And so I pushed and I worked in every way that I could think of. I called people who knew people, who had heard of people who could help. And a little church called me to be their pastor. And it only lasted 10 months. Because it was me. It was not the Lord. And it was rough. It was a hard experience that the Lord said, "You want to push? You want to get ahead? See what comes from that." Many years later, I was serving a different church in a very difficult season. But this time I was determined to wait, to not push, to not try to make the move myself, but to be faithful to what God had called us to do in the church and deal with the difficulties and the challenges. Obviously praying, "Lord, are we moving in the right way? Lord, give me strength." I mean, it was a good old Baptist church, bless you, brawl, that was being done in word, and not necessarily with fists, but there was plenty happening. And we had one of those good old-fashioned Baptist church business meetings on a Wednesday night, and I was just sort of broken down to the core. And I waited for all the people to leave. And my prayer was, "Lord, what do you want me to do? I don't know what to do. Everything that I've tried to do is not working. To take the stand, to deal with the issue, to try to work through, but I am willing to wait. I am willing to stay." And that had been a prayer throughout a long season of time. And it was just heightened that night because of the difficulty of the meeting that we had just had. I was there on the steps at the front of that church sanctuary, just praying, crying out to God. Had waited a long time. Do you know that the next day my phone rang, and in that conversation the answer to the direction forward became very obvious. It took a long time of waiting to come to that place. For some of you, that long time of waiting is weeks. For some of you in your situation in life, it's months. For some of you, it has been years. I wonder what the Lord is teaching us in this season of 2020, when it feels literally like we take two steps forward and three steps back every 4, 5, 6 weeks. When wearing a mask has engulfed into a political statement or a political rebellion on either side, in every direction. Maybe the Lord is calling us as a church to sit down and wait. I can tell you, just to be honest with you, that if Eastwood Baptist Church had called a pastor some months ago, that there are things that have been worked through and dealt with that would not have been dealt with at this point in time, but they have been dealt with now, and it needed time. And so maybe you're wondering, why is this taking so long? It's because the Lord's been dealing with things behind the scenes. Maybe you know what's happened. Maybe you don't know what's happened. There are administrative, there are structural things to help this church come to a place to move forward. And it took time of waiting and being faithful for those things to happen. I wonder in your life, maybe it's time for you to sit down, to humble yourself, to repent, to give thanks. Maybe it's time for you just to wait. Maybe you say, I've done those things, and the answer is still not apparent. Then maybe the answer is just wait. But maybe the answer is it is time to stand up and to move forward in faithful obedience. Friend, the Lord desires to work in your life, whether it is that step of faithful obedience, whether it's the breaking to just sit down for a moment, or maybe it's to stay in the seat and to allow Him to work to prepare the way for you. I know that it's not going to happen regardless by your own strength, by your own power, by your own doing, that ultimately living in a way that pleases God comes through Christ. It comes through Him at work within us. This morning, if you need to turn to Christ, know that we would love to help you with that. As I mentioned earlier, when the service is over, I'll be out in the lobby. If you would like to talk to one of our other pastors or deacons, they will be over in a prayer room that we've set up just outside of these doors. We would love to have you over there. You'll have a little bit more privacy over there to talk. We're still taking care to be 6 feet apart and socially distanced and all that kind of stuff with masks. But we've created an opportunity there. We would ask you to respond to Christ, to turn to Him in whichever stage you're in as we walk with Him in life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the grace and for the kindness that you have shown to us. Lord, we thank you that the same John that walked with you, that knew you, that wrote to us that strong word that we can know that Christ has come as the Savior and the Redeemer, that we can know Him. Lord, we thank you it's in that same letter from the same man that he knew that you were faithful and that you would forgive those who turn to you, those who would confess their sin. He said that the Lord is faithful and He is just to forgive them of their sins and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. And so, Lord, would you work in our hearts? Show us our sin, oh God. Help us to be brave enough to pray that. Help us to have the faith enough, Lord, to open our hearts to you, that you would show us our sin and that you would then come and forgive us and help us as we turn to you and follow after you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll stand together as we sing.